Evening, I'd like you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Reading at verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, reading at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with your conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. And I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Chapter 3, verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall become worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and holy word. I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. Mother's Day. It has been a celebration around the world. It has been a time of showering accolades on mothers. Faith of our mothers. That's the title of my message this evening. Faith of our mothers. You know the song, Faith of Our Fathers Living Still. Faith of our mothers. The writing of Timothy, who was his son in the faith, Paul could say with frankness, I have no man like-minded. There's another translation that I like a little bit better than that. And it's like this. There is no one like Timothy. That's what Paul said. There is no one like Timothy. What do you think it was in Timothy that justified Paul making such a commendation? I believe part of that answer, the answer to that question, is found in our text. I believe it was the sterling qualities that Paul recalled of Timothy. And one of those sterling qualities, he quoted it in these words, unfeigned faith. Unfeigned faith. And when he makes that statement, he immediately follows that statement by affirming that his faith dwelt first in Timothy's grandmother Lois and in his mother Eunice. And what Paul is implying is this, that if it was not for the faith found in Lois, if it was not for the faith found in Lois and Eunice, there would probably be no faith found in Timothy. Because they passed it on. No, they didn't inherit it by inheriting a gene. But they taught him by precept. They taught him by example. They taught him by word. And so we have the faith of three generations. Lois, Eunice, and Timothy. What a commentary this is for the faith of our mothers living still. First, I believe that a mother's faith is convictional. A mother's faith will convict. And there has to be conviction in young people, in children. There has to be conviction in older people. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And so Timothy was taught by his mother and his grandmother. So later when you see him stand with Paul, he always finds himself with good men. He is always in good company. There are always good things happening to him. So his faith, her faith, is convictional. The unchanged faith which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. Now when you do a careful study of the passages of scripture that are relevant to this issue of the faith of his grandmother and his mother, you'll turn to chapter 1 and verse 5, and you'll go to Acts 16 and verse 1. You'll go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. And you'll discover that when you read those verses and you go through what the Word of God has to say, you'll discover that these two women enjoyed a faith in God. Not a faith of Israel. If that faith of Israel was not the faith of the living God. Not a faith of Rome, unless that faith of Rome was the faith of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Their faith was in God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they set an example to this young man of a faith that was real. A faith that was placed upon a solid foundation. It was a faith which was scripturally sound. This faith which convicts must be a faith that is based in the Word of God. Both these mothers knew the Holy Scriptures, Paul stated. They knew the Holy Scriptures, and Paul says in 2 Timothy 3, and verse 15, which is able to make thee wise, and it did make him wise unto salvation. Mothers, there is no substitute for knowing the Word of God. I could say first, there's no substitute for teaching the Word of God, but you've got to know the Word of God before you can teach it. And I'll tell you this, you'll never know the Word of God if you don't read the Word of God. Mothers, if I'm just saying anything to you here this evening, is to read the Word of God. Let your children see you reading the Word of God. Our children are impressed by the things they see us do. And so we can read the Word of God, and it'll make our children wise unto salvation. You say, how is that going to happen? Because when they see us reading, and they ask us questions, we can know how to answer. That's why I was thrilled to see nearly 140 people do the counseling course, even though only about 50 counsel. Praise God. What we said was, it'll help you. And they came night after night, and they took their videos away, and they took their cassettes away, and thank God for every opportunity of learning the Word of God. Take every opportunity to learn the Word of God, but there must be no substitute for learning the Word of God. There can be no substitute for reading the Holy Word of God. This faith, which was scripturally sound, was centered in the Word of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith in the Word of God. It is so important. Faith which is scripturally sound, but secondly, it is faith which is a saving faith which is sure. They taught Timothy the Holy Scriptures which were able to make him wise unto salvation. They taught him. So when you have been taught by reading the Word of God and by the blessed Spirit of God, as you meditate, mothers, when you read the Word of God, get time and don't listen to people who give you a time. Find a time that's convenient for you. If you fall into somebody else alone, it'll never work. You might have a lot of things to do with your children in the morning time between 7 and 9. It might not be the best time. Others may find when they get out of their bed, they can sit down and they can read. And let me tell you, you may find that after children's school, you find some time where you can read between the time you have to prepare lunch and then you can meditate upon the Word of God when it is quiet. Maybe it's a time when you have babies, when the babies are going to sleep. You find that time, but it must be a quiet time. It must be a peaceful time. It must be a time when the Word of God can soak into your soul. When you can sit after you've read the Word of God and muse upon it and meditate. Someone said rightly a long time ago, we've lost the art of meditation. We've lost the art of meditation. And we need to get back. If we are going to be the example that we ought to be, if we're going to give the instruction that we must give to our children, then we must get back to the Word of God and meditating upon the Word of God. African chief wanted to know the secret of the greatness of Britain. That's a long time ago. Queen Victoria held a Bible in her hand and she said, tell the chief that this book, the Bible, is the secret of Britain's greatness. And the reason Britain is not great today, tonight, and the reason that they marry homosexuals, and the reason that they are the lowest on the ladder in morals tonight, is because they got away from the book of Queen Victoria. But secondly, a mother's faith is something that can be communicated. Your faith, mothers, if you know Jesus Christ, can be communicated to your children. Here's what he said. Call to remembrance the unfeigned faith which dwelt first in thy grandmother. Let me tell you, that's a faith. It dwelt there. Her faith had found a resting place, not in device nor creed. She was trusting the ever-living one. Dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. But, he said, call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that was communicated to you. And then he makes this statement directly to Timothy's heart as a challenge, but continue thou. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. There's no one who can communicate the deep things of God to their children today better than mothers can. The preacher can't do it. The preacher's going to get him after he's tough, and it's very difficult to point it in. We've got statistics to prove that after the age of 21, it's very difficult for people to be saved. We've got them from the crusade. I have a report in my seat. I'm handing out this to some of my leaders tonight, some of the men who are involved. And we've done a survey. We put all the information into a computer. And we've come up with certain statistics that show us from the youngest person at 5 years old to the oldest man at 67 years old. When you put it all together, the average age was 21 years old. When you get to 25, it's more difficult to be saved. And when you get to 30, it's more difficult. And when you get to 40, it's much, much more difficult. We only had one man, 67 years old, that professed faith in Jesus Christ. You say he's the only one who's done as well. You'd be surprised. How many people are up over 50 years old and don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? Mothers, you have your children in your hands. You must communicate the Word of God. You must communicate your faith, a mother's faith, must be communicated to their children. You can do it by example. You lead in the home pretty often, especially in this community where fathers find themselves at sea spends a great deal of the time of the year. Mothers are with their children. Mothers are the leaders in their homes very often for the bigger part of the year. And you can lead by example. What your life is, it's so important. And you must lead by instruction. But you will never lead by instruction unless you're first leading by example. There are a lot of people, there are a lot of men, there are a lot of men who are fathers who want to lead by instruction. And you can't lead by instruction without first leading by example. You find in the Church of Jesus Christ, umpteen people and men everywhere you go, you find the churches have this problem. There are a lot of men who want to be in leadership, and they want to lead by instruction. Men, let me tell you, you can't lead by instruction. You must lead by being an example. And then people will take your instruction. No one will take your instruction, fathers. No children will take your instruction unless you show them love. Unless you show them love. It must be important. The bouquets will be good. But let me tell you, it must be there in word and deed. It must be there by example. And for mothers, it's important because you will leave the deepest impression on your child, and anybody who comes in contact with that child, that Sunday school teacher, will never leave the impression that you leave on that child. That nursery attendant will never leave the impression that you leave on that child. You brought that child into the world. And you are the most impressionable person in regard to that child. Faith is communicated by personally educating the child. Continue down the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. From his earliest days, Timothy was taught the Holy Scriptures, and Paul said, you know who you heard them from. Wasn't the preacher? It was his mother. There was a sense of duty to teach the Word of God, to communicate the Word of God, to read the Word of God, to learn the Word of God in Israel. It was a sense of duty. It was, they were instructed to take the Word of God and teach the Word of God to their children. They were commanded to do it. And those who didn't do it, they were disobedient servants of the living God. And those of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are commanded by the Word of God to learn the Word of God and to teach the Word of God to our children. There are a lot of people who want to go out there and teach other people. There's a lot of women today, and they're out there and they're preaching in this women's ministry and they're in that ministry. Let me tell you, ladies, I respect any ministry, anything you can be involved in. But let me say this, that before you can be involved in any other ministry, you must first be successfully involved in the ministry of teaching your own children. Whether I hear a name or not, it's still the truth. Faith is communicated by practical demonstration. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Thank God for mothers who have been concerned about their children, who say, have you got that little scripture verse? I mean, I hear my little grandson, I'm riding around, he's telling me his verse that he learned today. He's telling me his verse for next week. And I know a lot of parents do that. Praise God for those parents who take that verse when they come home and they teach that child. Because now's the time. 6 months, 1 year, 1 year and a half, 2 years, 2 years and a half, 3 years. This is time to love it. They're going to learn it. And it's going to stick in their heart. They may only mumble it out. It may sound like garbage to other people. But you know what they're saying. And later on, you can correct them. Later on, you can have them to say it right. But they are. Then Paul says, I want you to be assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Somebody had to teach Timothy. And his mother taught him, and his grandmother, knowing whom thou learned them of. Timothy saw something in his mother's life. Timothy saw something in his grandmother's life. And it demonstrated the reality of faith that they taught. It demonstrated reality of faith that they taught. There has to be the reality of faith in my life before I can say, well, here's what it teaches. That is so very important. John Newton, in his most simple days, could never forget his mother. He said, at my mother's knees, I learned to pray. But his mother was taken to heaven when he was only 8 years old. My mother's God the God of mercy, have mercy upon me. Very often he would pray that prayer when he was in danger, when he was in trouble. You know, one day that prayer was gloriously answered, not only in Newton's life, but also in his ministry. His father's teaching him brought forth fruit. But in another family, such was the impression that Susanna Wesley made on her son John, that she was called the mother of Methodism because of the impression that she left on her son John. But the last point I have to bring to you as we conclude this message this evening, Paul says, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. A mother's faith is commendable. Mother, I commend every mother who knows Jesus Christ here this evening. And I say to those who don't know Jesus Christ, you must receive Jesus Christ for your children's sake. You must do it for your own sake, but remember, you brought those children into the world, and God has entrusted those children to you. And God is saying, mothers, your faith can be communicated to them, but you must first have the faith that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I call to remember the unfeigned faith itself first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice. And Paul is saying, it's the same faith. I can commend the faith that was in Eunice. I can commend the faith that was in Lois. I can commend the faith, Paul, that is in you. Paul is saying to Timothy, the lasting influence of a mother's faith. The lasting influence of a mother's faith. Unfeigned faith. Has it ever occurred to you that the most priceless treasure a man or woman can have is faith? The world may cry, what is a man without faith? What is a man without money? What is a man without a good job? What is a man without a home? But I say, what is a man without faith? What is a man without faith? Without faith, the Bible says, it's impossible to please God. When you come to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, it talks about the heroes of faith. They are remembered for one thing, their faith. Not how much cattle they had, never talks about Abraham's cattle. Not how much gold Solomon had, never mentions it. How many houses he had, doesn't mention it. Doesn't talk about the things that Abel possessed, but it talks about the faith of Abel by faith, Enoch. True faith, Sarah, by faith, Rahab, and so on. Faith. F. B. Meyer once said, not the quantity of faith, but the quality of faith that's important. Let me ask you, what about your faith? And where is your faith, is it? Do you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? There were a lot of people, 118 or something of them, that faith in a value jet last evening afternoon. And boarded that jet, heading back home, many of them, probably for vacation in Florida. Not knowing that 7 minutes after takeoff, that they would be in eternity. Faith in the wrong thing. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The unfeigned faith of thy grandmother, Lord. Times may change. Fashions may change. But mothers are never out of date. Mothers are never out of step. A mother's faith is always relevant faith. In this age of space and space age, equipment and kitchen equipment, mothers need to realize, as someone has said, she needs to keep her feet on the ground and her heart in the heavens. Her feet on the ground and her heart in the heavens. Mothers are important. so very important in communicating faith. William McKinney, as a lawyer, congressman, governor of Ohio, resident eventually of the United States of America, he kept in touch with his mother every day. And when he didn't see her, he wrote her a telegram. It was mid-October of 1897. He left the White House very quietly, took a train to Trenton, Ohio, just so he could walk to church once again with his mother. When she became ill, he arranged to have a special train standing by at full steam, ready to take him to her bedside. Then one night, he called for him. Immediately he wired, "Tell mother I'll be there." On the 12th of December, 1897, Mrs. McKinney died. You know how she died? In the arms of a 50-year-old lawyer, congressman, governor, president of the United States of America's arms. It was her gentle Christian virtues that helped mold that president to be one of America's finest statesmen. It was her character. Later on, he was gunned down in Buffalo, New York. It was about 4 years after his mother died. And those who were around him said that he showed no bitterness towards his assassin. And with Christian courage, be for his words, "God's will be done." And before he died, he asked to hear the words of that very popular hymn, sung again, "Nearer My God to Thee." He said, "I want to hear it because it is the last hymn that my mother taught me. Nearer My God to Thee." Faith of our mothers living still, in spite of darkening days of doubt, all our being glow and thrill when that word faith is sounded out. Faith of our mothers, gift of grace, born of the Spirit from on high, nourished by Scripture, strong to face forces of evil when they're nigh. Faith of our mothers, Lord preserve, this priceless treasure to us all, that through our families we may serve, duty or danger, when they call. So bless our mothers, everyone. Bless them for holy faith and love. God bless them now for work well done. Then honor them in realms above. Shall we pray? Just as we go to prayer, you may be here this evening and you say, "I've been convicted for the last several weeks of my sin and I want to be saved. I've got a mother in glory and I want to meet her there." Is there one, just before we pray, who'll raise the hand and say, "Brother Ludi, I want to be saved this evening. I want to be saved." Is there one? Christians, I trust that you're praying. God is still able to do far exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. God has been working. God wants to continue to work. God wants to save to the uttermost. All will come unto him. Is there one just before we pray? And Father, this evening we pray that thou wilt bless thy word. Bless the mothers who are here. We pray, Father, they might have a desire to read thy word. We thank for those who are students of the word. Those who read the word and love thy word. Lord, we pray it might be that which is communicated through their lives and through their lips. First, Lord, work in them by thy word, that through their life they might communicate to their children, those Christian mothers, to their husbands who may be unsaved. And then, Lord, by life, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt honor them in a special way with the rearing of their children, to be men and women who will seek to love the Lord and serve Him all the days of their lives. We bless Thee in Jesus' name. Amen.